Dr. Roberts, I guess the question is, you know, we talk about everybody going to the store, getting ready for this huge winter storm. What are people doing? Why are they doing this? And should they be doing this?
Yeah, good question. I think it's a common response to, you know, to anxiety that's related to bad weather. So I don't think it's anything that that we can consider to be illogical or not logical, but I think we have to be a little bit more measured in our response. But it's a common social, psychological response to perceived threat, right? Bad weather is a threat. We could run out of food. We could, you know, we could be stuck in our homes. And so, no, I don't think it's uncommon to be afraid of bad weather and maybe the possible food shortages that are associated with it. But I think it's also common that oftentimes we overestimate the threat, and that kind of leads to panic buying.
I understand that there's a kind of an interesting name for this. Would we call it a syndrome, or this action by people?
Yeah, I love it. You know, again, it's called the French toast syndrome. Again, I'm not much of a cook, but that means that when we do have these types of panic buying, often people go and turn to the staples of bread, eggs, and milk. So they call it the French toast syndrome. I think that's a great way to put a funny spin on this whole idea of panic buying.
What's your suggestion to people who are out there going through this panic buying situation?
Yeah. You know, again, we have to take it. The reality is that, you know, we may be put out for a day or two. In Texas, you know, probably nothing too terrible, but there could be a few days where we have at least difficult access to the grocery stores. And so, you know, you should have some water, of course, and enough to have meals for a couple of days. But I think the most important thing is to remember that everyone else is going through the same kind of problem that you are, and for you to run in and go, you know, fill up and take all the milk or all the eggs and things like that just leaves other people without. My favorite little story about that is, and I think our heightened panic buying, or our panic buying has been heightened by the recent COVID, right? We all remember about the toilet paper shortages, but I always like to share my favorite story about my wife was in HEB. This is a particularly Texas story. My wife was in an HEB shopping during one of the panic buying frenzies, and she went by and a lady in with a shopping cart full of brisket. So again, it's particularly a Texas bent on the idea of panic buying. But yeah, I think the idea is to consider other people. Empathy is always a good thing to say, well, you know, if I buy all this, there's other people without. So buy enough so you could reasonably get by for a couple of days, but leave the rest for others.
Is there anything that I didn't ask or anything I didn't bring up that you think we should add to the story?
Yeah, you know what I think is interesting, this idea that, you know, what happens, you know, why do we react with panic buying when we're threatened? You know, again, shopping is a way to reduce anxiety. We actually call it in research, we call it something called mortality, our own, you know, life and death, existential, but mortality salience, the idea when we're threatened, we find comfort in things that we can buy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've studied that idea, and because what I've studied is that when we feel threatened, you know, like in war times and times really, you know, could be COVID, certainly a lot of compulsive shopping because of those, you know, amassing things make us feel better. It kind of helps us to reduce, maybe even help us distract us from the anxiety we're feeling about, you know, COVID or about the impending storm.